Hi everyone, welcome to this episode of The Optimism Show. Today we have Sam, the founder of Frax and the chief AI officer of the chain. Welcome, Sam.
Hey, thanks for having me, Chris. Good to be here. I came up with the new AI moniker just because of the amount of times I've been diving really deeply in crypto AI stuff as well with development of Fraxel.
Yeah, that's actually an amazing point that I would love to dive deeper into our conversation as we get going, especially like that combination between AI and blockchain. But before we get into the nitty-gritty, I just want to ask you, like, you really just a brief introduction about yourself to our listeners, because you moved from founding Everpedia, which is the largest blockchain and crypto encyclopedia, now IQ.wiki, to moving to creating Frax, and as you said in your ETH Denver speech, like thinking in centuries and building something sustainable. So can you tell us a bit more about your transition and your journey here, and how did you even come up with the idea for Frax?
Yeah, for sure. So it's been a long journey in crypto. So I got into crypto early in like 2013. So now it's actually over a decade, long time ago, kind of dinosaur crypto kind of person. And I started mining cryptocurrencies, like one of the earliest Dogecoin miners when I was back in college at UCLA. It was just a hobby back then, and I never really thought it would get as big as it has. And then after UCLA, like you said, I founded my first company, Everpedia, which is back then there wasn't ICOs or anything in 2015, and 16 was just kind of starting. And so we turned it into the largest decentralized encyclopedia. And now it's actually built on EVM, Polygon, and Ethereum. And so it actually is AI powered so that it actually has models that are looking at the documentation and protocols and stuff. And it's not humans editing. So it's actually pretty cool. And they're actually building the on-chain AI agents for Fraxel and the Superchain now, because of their actual prowess in basically innovating the AI content and everything. And the next phase, we think, is the on-chain AI agents that are provably like sovereign. And that's actually one of the features we're working on natively in the Fraxel blockchain. But before all that, in like 2019, I started really thinking about stable coins and on-chain finance. Back then, the word DeFi wasn't really a thing. And Frax, or what would become Frax, was originally actually called Decentral Bank. We wanted to build a protocol that was essentially like the decentralized central bank issuing currency and actually becoming a important part of credit creation, currency usage, stable currencies on-chain. And when we designed and launched Frax in late 2020, that's basically during the DeFi summer and the entire big boom of DeFi, Ethereum, and everything there. And so Frax got really big, and it's grown, and it's the brand has become like a household name in DeFi and crypto, and one of the most recognized brands in the Ethereum DeFi ecosystem. And we were thinking, like you said, we think long term and not like what's kind of trendy currently, or like what's the cool thing this month or that, or this meme coin or things like that. And we really realized that with the L2 centric roadmap with Ethereum, the most important kind of systemically important applications and ecosystems will almost certainly have a sovereign blockchain, right? Their own block space, their own, essentially their own digital economy, right? We think about different chains kind of like digital countries, and they have a ecosystem or an economy, and the builders that actually build and integrate and issue tokens and assets are what bring the ecosystem value and use and everything. And so when we were designing the Fraxel tech stack, one of the first things we did is look around in the roll-up world and look at the technology stacks available. And we really, really liked the optimism vision of both the superchain, which was just germinating then, right? It was just an idea, and also just the overall view of like the ops stack being the modular kind of Linux of blockchain technology for the code base. And so we launched Fragstal in February of 2024 of this year. Actually, one of the first after Base and Op Mainnet. Fragstal was, I think, the third or maybe fourth chain to actually commit to joining the superchain. I think it's partly because we really see where the industry is going a little earlier than most people. And I think that it's proven our vision right with everyone launching like Kraken's Inc., Uniswap's Unichain, all of these things. And so our next really big release with the vision roadmap that comes next month is a total brand new revamp of everything that we think the industry will look like in the coming years, and what Frax will look like and what everything will be. And one of the important things is like, and I tell this to our team as well, is that you want to see where everything is going in like 2, 3, 4, 5 years and make a claim about that vision and build towards that vision. And if you're right, you should be the best positioned team, ecosystem, chain, everything to capture the mindshare, usage, ecosystem, builders, everything in the future as every single day passes. And so that's always been kind of the long-term vision of playing long-term games with long-term people, long-term ecosystems and builders. And I think that one of the things that we've seen that's actually been proven right is I call the big chain thesis, which is whether you call them app chains or general purpose chains or all of these things, there's this life cycle of an application where if you're on a chain and you're big enough, you'll want to have a sovereign economy and you'll launch some form of roll up blockchain, you know, whatever that you want to call it. A roll up is essentially just blockchain with Ethereum level security, right? And so I think that has proven to be totally the correct thesis, because there's this kind of, I don't want to say like anti big chain thesis view, or kind of like a chain agnostic thesis of like, why does this need a blockchain? Why is Uniswap launching a chain? And I think with every single chain coming out and a lot of them picking superchain and the op stack, I think that the evidence is overwhelming that the big chain thesis is correct, rather than the chain agnostic kind of the chain skeptic view of like very few chains need to exist. I think there will be thousands of chains, and there will be like a power law of systemically important economies or ecosystems. And so what will happen is in like 5 years, there will be thousands of chains, mostly roll-ups, some, you know, sovereign roll-ups, Alt-L1s, however you want to find them. And there will be probably 10 to 20 of these chains that have hundreds of billions of TVL and essentially vibrant economies, literally like the size of economies of real countries, right? Hundreds of billions in terms of like economic value, right? And our goal is to make sure that Frax and the Fraxel chain is the leading one in those 10 to 20 being one of those systemically important chains. And that's kind of our guiding light in North Star. So it's looking more and more correct in terms of like every day that people come out or chains come out that this is how it'll look. Now, there's a lot of subtle stuff that we can kind of get into where it's like there's going to be differentiation, or there needs to be differentiation. Otherwise, there's like almost a counterintuitive thing of there's no reason for the chain to exist. So I'm not saying there's literally always a reason to have a chain, but there's going to be more and more reasons for having a chain than not having a chain. Similar to, you know, having a token. I remember in the ICO era, right? Like people kept saying, why does this need a token? Why do you need a token for this? And now it's like, if there isn't some kind of token for something, unless it's like a infrastructure company or something else, there's a question of why isn't there a token or when token or like, and so this will be the same kind of thing going forward with blockchains.
That's some excellent points. And as you said, like you're a big believer in the big chain theory, that there will be bigger chains that dominate the place. And you have also been part of the superchain ecosystem practically since the very beginning. I'm curious, and another thing that you mentioned is about the Frax 2030 vision. So I'm curious about all these points, like how has so far being part of the superchain and working with different chains shaped the 2030 vision for Frax? And what are the key points that you're focusing on the 2030 vision that you expect to actually be the big developments in the markets?
Yeah, so I think that the main like overarching theme in the coming years, 1 to 3 years, and then year 4 and 5, is that as essentially AI abstracts both like the user interface portion and the on-chain interaction portion of blockchains and digital assets, the only real distinguishing factor between chain technology will be performance and integrations, and especially how uniquely they're positioned to actually integrate AI and on-chain AI transactions. And the reason for that is, like, if you think about how things are moving right now, before, everyone that had a unique technology claim, like, oh, this is a new virtual machine, this is a new VM, this is a new coding language to write smart contracts or something, everyone had they essentially were expected to launch a blockchain, right? Like a lot of blockchains, their unique value proposition is like it's in Move, or it's in this different VM and stuff. None of that will really matter if AI is writing the contracts, or you can just deploy a token contract with all of these tokens or other kind of DeFi primitives, and AI can actually manage these token deployments and all these things. What'll matter is performance. And actually that's the first problem, which is performance. And that's also why Solana is doing really well, because it makes the actual claim of extremely high performance being one of the most differentiating factors. Now, obviously, decentralization is the most important that everything else is downstream of, which is why Fraxtl is an Ethereum rollup, which inherits all of the security and the decentralization and liveness of Ethereum. I think Bitcoin and Ethereum are far and away, without a doubt, there's no competition in terms of decentralization, right? And so next, after that, the downstream differentiation is performance and AI integration, financial integration, actually having the technology to be able to bring the next 1 billion people on-chain and actually provide them with an easy to understand interface, probably most likely augmented with AI. Like, I actually think one of the most important concepts is, like, I don't think the MetaMask killer or like some kind of wallet killer is like another mobile app that's like super nice to use, or like with like cooler buttons or something. It's just when you can speech or text to inference that are intense, right, in transactions, right? Being able to directly speak to AI agents that are trained on all of these things and saying, hey, I have stable coins on Ethereum mainnet and I want to earn yield on Fraxtl or a rollup. Maybe you don't even know the name, right? And it says, hey, you should convert it to this stable coin. I've, you know, signed and created the intent transaction for bridging it and staking it. All you have to do is click submit transaction from your non-custodial wallet and everything else is done, right? And I think with that, the only real differentiator is performance, integrations, and how easy it is for these kind of sovereign on-chain AI agents to actually be able to do these things. And that's one of the first things we're working on, is making Fractal extremely high performance and near real-time blocks in the next hard fork, which we're calling the North Star hard fork, which is making it the most high-performant super chain and maybe EVM. I think Mega ETH has probably one of the best technology stacks for bringing out the final type of performance to the EVM, but we also have a different way of optimizing the op stack that doesn't break interop, doesn't break any of the super chain specs, but can get real-time blocks or very, very real-time block performance in our own tech stack. And that actually will be one of the biggest differentiators. And right now, Fractal, even before the North Star upgrade, is, I think, the cheapest L2 in terms of, even when blocks are full, it is like 1/10 of a cent for like a swap or like token transfers is even. So I think that the Mega ETHs of the world, the Fractals of the world, as well as other rollups that are performance centric, like I know Eclipse is coming out, which is the Solana virtual machine, which is already very high performance, and their rollup, and they will actually be a probably very important in terms of mindshare, right, in this performance centric next few years. And the other important thing that we're doing is making sure that we have the unique tech, which I don't want to announce yet, but we call proof of inference, which is a very unique consensus mechanism for enshrining on-chain sovereign AI onto the actual chain, so that it can manage your assets. It can actually be used to hold assets non-custodially without actually having to have APIs for AI agents. And so we're actually working with a few really important teams, including Flashbots, and a few others, the IQ team that you actually mentioned as well, to create this really novel system that's a consensus mechanism on top of the EVM blockchain. You can kind of think of it like an AI VM of sorts, like a shared state virtual machine of like AI agents that actually have inputs that come from the EVM, and then they output their inference provably to the EVM state. So it's actually very, very unique in terms of blockchain technology.
Yeah, that is definitely a unique point. And another thing that you just said, and like from my observation, from my side, is on the future of Frax, you're also betting on multiple different things. So you have the performance and the AI agents and this and that, which ultimately will make the vision a lot more likely to succeed, at least from how I understand it from my perspective. And another point that you said with the AI bots and how they might be the replacement for, like, for example, for wallets, for like MetaMask and similar, is in fact thinking about it, like having good AI agents inside of a company like you are building with Frax could really help really get other outsiders that are not Web3 natives inside, because in the end, that's the main challenge a lot of outsiders have when it comes to Web3. They usually either get scammed or they don't have the right guidance of where should I go and I want to join this.
Yeah, exactly. And so actually, you're totally right, because right now, I think there's probably like 100 million total crypto users, including people that like use Tether or don't know it's a blockchain, and DeFi users are like a smaller subset of that, right? And right now, everyone's just kind of fighting for those users. Like if you launch a fiat coin, maybe you try to get remittance, like market share from Tether. If you're a DeFi platform like Frax with like stable coins, lending and all these things, maybe you're trying to like increase your share of like some lending usage or like stable coin yields. But the most important thing in this next phase of the industry is how to bring the next 1 billion people, new people, on chain. And the most important way to do that, in our opinion, is AI and abstracting out everything from the wallets to the on-chain transactions that require technical knowledge and everything, right? And there's a lot of things in like AI that are kind of smoke and mirrors, right? Like there's like the new AI meme coins, the these like Truth Terminal, all of these things that everyone's talking about on X. And I think the real tech underlying it is still not the 0-to-1 moment for crypto AI. And the reason for that is there's no way to actually prove sovereignty and like the inference outputs that come from a specific model, and to have those models have continuity, which means they have their own public addresses actually in the EVM or the virtual machine of the blockchain state that no one else can take away, right? And so, like, for example, when Truth Terminal started taking off, everyone said, oh, it's the first AI millionaire because it had the goat meme coin and stuff, and it was worth a lot. And I think the real thing to say is Andy, the creator of it, is the first AI millionaire because he has the API key. He controls the Twitter account. He controls the wallet. He controls the everything there, right? And so the AI has no sovereignty to actually ascribe to it being a millionaire, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's just a glorified bot. And I think the 0-to-1 moment is when there's actual blockchains like Fractal. Obviously, there's other chains and protocols like, I think, RitualNet, BitTensor's kind of working on something adjacent to this, but it's more on the incentivization area. But the real 0-to-1 moment is something like proof of inference that we're trying to build in collaboration with these other projects like Flashbots and IQ, where you have a shared state AI system where you can have models that are actually provably outputting claims on like the EVM state or the SVM state or a blockchain state. And they have contract addresses that no one else can take, right? Like the assets in there can only be moved provably from inference outputs from that model. And that model has continuity, which means that if that model is upgraded through some process that's defined in this consensus process, proof of inference, the addresses stay within the ownership of that actual model as it improves, as it trains, as it actually increases its performance. And so you have the system where truly sovereign AI agents can actually start earning money. And if they really are literally AI agent millionaires, no one actually can take that money away. It's not an API. It's not on someone's server. It's not a glorified bot. That actually creates economic network. People will want to build on a blockchain that has actual rich AI agents able to do things with their assets and deploy them and have inference outputs that move their assets or even manage the other people's assets in coordination with their own. Listen for events in the EVM state and actually output actions in the, you know, AI VM, so to speak, the shared state of the sovereign models. And so that's the 0-to-1 moment that I think is extremely, extremely important that'll lead to, like, honestly, a 1000x, both in terms of like users, builders, and TVL. And obviously, the blockchains that are hopefully going to have this, Fractal, probably a few other big projects that are building in this AI crypto area, are going to benefit the most because that's where the economic network effects will be. And the other thing is that once these agents are sovereign and on chain, you actually, like I was saying before, you actually compact the difference in tech of like the underlying tech of the blockchains to just performance abstraction and decentralization, right? Because everything else can be abstracted. It doesn't matter if the smart contracts are written in like Move or Rust and like Solidity, Viper, any of this stuff. It just matters how performant is it and how much usage and economic value does this network have. And so I think the most important thing is like finding the best design optimization for this kind of end state of a blockchain network. And so we think that the best end state is a sovereign-like rollup, which inherits Ethereum-level security, at Ethereum level decentralization, because no one's starting from scratch and overtaking Ethereum or Bitcoin decentralization lines, right? And then the second part is to have a sovereign chain that has the most interoperability with as many other high performance shared state machines, right? Other rollups, other EVMs or SVMs and things like that. And that's where the superchain vision of full interop is extremely, extremely compelling for us, which is why we originally jumped on it as like the third chain earlier this year. And that, I think, is the most optimized and elegant blockchain technology stack for the next 5 years. At least that's how I think.
Yeah. And so, as you said, like, so the main key points being like that having that sovereign rollup and then a sovereign chain that has the most interoperability with other chains. Like, jumping back, like, let's say 6 years from now, 2030, and your vision of 2030, if that happens and it becomes a reality the way you imagine it right now, how would things look like? What would change in the blockchains? In the blockchain space that maybe we're seeing now and we won't be seeing then, and how do you imagine the world to be if that comes to reality?
Yeah, it's a good question, because like that's actually how we ended up with this roadmap, is thinking of how things will look like. I think in 2030, I mean, actually, like anyone that's listening to this can think about it themselves based on how much they use crypto and AI and everything, and where they think things are going is, I think there won't be UIs. The UIs will be a singular location. People will obviously have non-custodial wallets like you know, MetaMask or whatever to store keys or hardware wallets. But what will happen is there will be one point of entry, a universal interface for the most important blockchains. So like you literally type text, I want to earn yield on my dollars that are safe. How do I do that? And then like the output is you can transfer fiat from a bank to these safe stable coins, and then they're earning this much. I've selected the best one. If this looks good to you, you can just click this text box, and the intent transaction is already signed, so that the flow is actually there, bridging and converting to the staked yield version, and then there it is in your wallet, right? And with that kind of view, we've actually revamped and are going to release this system called the Frax Universal Interface. So when we actually launch the vision roadmap, there'll just be one singular interface on Frax.com, like literally just one place. And it'll be at first a very simple input, obviously, like kind of what people are, you know, familiar with the Uniswap, or like a simple swap for like almost every kind of thing, swapping savings, like staking in Frax Ether or Frax USD, yielding stable coins, borrowing, right, like collateral, and then borrow this amount. Eventually, even that'll be abstracted out, and you can actually just directly talk to the sovereign on-chain agents that are trained on every contract in the chain. And so that universal interface that we call the Frax Universal UI, that actually will just slowly get simpler and simpler over time as the chain grows. The on-chain AI agents are more and more performant. You can even just type in, hey, launch a contract of like a meme coin, or launch a code base for a lending protocol that's based on Aave or FraxLend code base, do this, do that, and launch a token. And that itself will be just a singular interface. I think that's how everything will evolve, just in different ways, right? Like Coinbase's Coinbase wallet on mobile, right, is kind of becoming this singular focal point for everything on Base, and then being integrated into the Coinbase centralized exchange too, for like deposits and withdrawals. And as time goes on, it'll just probably get simpler and simpler, and every single thing will just be in this singular focal point. Right. So like you can trade on off ramp, move your assets using, you know, their singular entry point, which it seems like over the next couple of years will be Coinbase Wallet. Right. Then they might even change the name to wallet.
Like Coinbase,
yeah. something, right?
Also, sorry to interrupt you on that point that you just mentioned with Coinbase. Is they're also trying something similar with their Coinbase One subscription model to actually navigate people to one place. And another point I just wanted to share is, like, now that you've broken it down, it makes a lot of sense. But when someone hears, like, okay, there will be no UI, or there will be a singular UI in five years, it almost sounds like iPhone removing the headphone jack and everyone going crazy. Like, what's going to happen now?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly kind of a good point, right? But it was the iPhone that brought, like, the 100x of, like, mobile usage and activity, right? Before everyone had BlackBerries and flip phones, right? And then when Steve Jobs released the iPhone, like you said, it was just this holy crap moment that ended up leading to a 1,000x, maybe like 10,000x, right, in terms of mobile activity over, like, you know, desktop usage in the mid-2000s, right? And I think that that's going to be the case too, right? It's going to be that, like, these kind of things, like Coinbase One, that'll continue to evolve into one singular place, Frax Universal Interface powered by AI and simple interfacing with the entire stack of the chain, every single application that's built on the chain, the UI and the AIs will have scanning coverage trained on contracts, the routes, the inputs, the outputs. It'll be this unified experience that seems crazy. Of course, there'll be probably professional interfaces, as I like to call them, which is currently what DeFi UIs are, right? Like professional interfaces with graphs and charts and multiple, like, percent APYs and things like that, that always need to exist, right? But it'll be for professional technical users, not for 99% of the people that'll come, right? And I think that, like you said well yourself, things are going that way, whether people describe them or not. Like Coinbase One, aptly named, right? Trying to get everyone into a single place, not going to happen all in one day. It's still going to look like a centralized exchange product, right? But then, like, slowly, a lot of those things will get abstracted out to just on-off ramp, like hold non-custodially on the base chain, and then, like, trade and then withdraw and earn yield. And all of those will just continue to compact, and you won't need to even discover apps or dApps that are, like, deployed on base or on Frax. They'll just have coverage. If you want to swap something that's relevant to, like, the Curve pool or like Uniswap or something, it'll just root through that, right? Or if the best stablecoin yield is Frax USD, or Athena, it'll just tell you that that's the case, right? And you can just sign that transaction, right? And so I think that that's where things are going. It'll take a couple of years. When I was talking to Michael Igrov, the Curve founder, about it, I think he totally agreed, but he's like, coming back down from Mars, you know, back to, like, the moon even, right? The nearer term is, you know, more and more chains launching, and more DeFi deployments and TVL rising. But over the long arc of what that means, a lot of people talk about, like, fractured liquidity when more and more chains launch, and how do you actually abstract all that out? I think this is the actual, you know, the path to get there, right? Like, it's not that there needs to be less chains, or that there needs to be, interoperability, like, solutions that compete with each other or something like that. It actually just ends up all of this stuff being abstracted out into a singular interface in the most important chains and ecosystems, like Base, like Frax, like probably Solana, and these kind of things.
Which will eventually simplify the entire experience for anyone in and out of the Web3 space. Another really excellent point that you just mentioned there, which, how I see it, is, like, an amazing support, for example, for the projects that are building on Frax. Like, having that unified interface will bring the users to projects, will bring projects on Frax to users without users actually even know that they're using a specific project that is currently building on Frax, or a specific company or a specific product, which is to be honest, it's a very novel way of what I've seen, like, chains supporting projects in their ecosystem. And other than that, I'm really curious, like, how do you support the people that are building on Frax right now, and what do you really encourage them to focus in the coming years?
Yeah, so Frax has always been really positive sum. We have like a big both DeFi community and now Frax, the builder community, building applications and integrations and everything. And we've always directly been on the ground. Like, I literally talk to everyone specifically and make sure that everything they're building, they're getting both support in terms of incentives, investment, everything like that. And actually, Optimism has been fantastic in this area too. So like they've been very supportive of all of the Superchain aligned chains. And that's actually been one of the reasons that I think the Superchain has been growing a lot more in comparison to kind of other chain ecosystems, whether Alt, L1s or L2s and things like that. And I think you said it really well yourself in that the discoverability in this vision is very, very good. It's actually totally orders of magnitude better than the classical kind of Web 3 1.0, if you will, rather than this next era of Web 3. Is that called Web 4? Maybe, I don't know. But which is like, if you build something, your product where it's actually relevant will just get integrated into this Frax universal interface, or like the singular place. If it's an on-off ramp and people want to bring, you know, cash to crypto, to the chain, people will see that, right? And every single person where that's relevant, they'll see that. If you're building a DeFi protocol, right, whether it's like lending, leverage, swaps, any of these things, or like a yielding stablecoin or things like that, people will see it if they're swapping. It'll route through it if yours is the best place for it to route through something specific like stable swaps or range swaps of like specific assets. If they want to have leverage, right? If yours is the best place to take out a loan or leverage, it'll just route through. They'll deposit the collateral into the universal interface. It'll go into your specific place and take out the actual lent assets. It's totally a different paradigm of like thinking in this next kind of phase in Web 4, if you want to call it, which is that the discoverability is totally different. Everyone can come to a single place, and if yours is the relevant product, the user doesn't even have to know that they're using it. They'll just get their action done and through, and you benefit, whether it's, you know, your protocol gets the TVL or the fees or the liquidity or volume or things like that. I think that's much more powerful than everyone creating like some UI and then trying to do co-marketing. Obviously, for professional UI features, there obviously will continue to be things like that for the coming years. But again, those are a subset of use cases that probably are for highly technical people that aren't the, you know, next 1 billion users, that it'll only apply to like 10% of the next 1 billion users.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a complete paradigm shift, and also a complete shift in thinking of what have we been used so far. And to that point also, what I see is that a lot of Web3 is still in kind of crossroads. Because a lot of people try to bring back that corporate mentality or like mentality that they learned throughout the years, and not necessarily looking all the ways that Web3 opens like this, that, and Web3 AI, Web4, whatever we want to call it eventually. Sam, I have one last question when it comes to Frax and the 2030 vision and everything. Is there anything else that maybe I haven't asked you until now that you believe it's very important to mention, and regardless if that is important to end users or even to developers that you are trying to attract to Frax and projects that they need to know about?
Yeah, for sure. So I would say two things. One is if you're building anything on the Frax ecosystem or interested in deploying moving to Frax or a Frax implementation, this is probably the best time in the world to do it in the next 2 months, because We're integrating things into this new universal interface and integrating it into our roadmap and actually building the next generation of things that'll power the entire ecosystem, both in the Trax DeFi stack as well as the chain level stack. So definitely reach out to us for support, partnerships, strategic ones for this next phase and investment. And the last thing I'll say is, like, I know we don't really talk about tokenomics and things because this is more of like a tech discussion. But one thing that I think is really interesting and important is the increase in utility and value of tokens. So, like, for example, Unichain launched and they have a system for Uni, the token, to run validators. For us, it's a huge, much, much bigger revamp. In fact, one thing we're doing is renaming the FXS token to just simply Frax instead of Frax shares, which is the token for everything on the chain and DeFi. It'll actually be the gas token as well for the new upgrade of the chain. And there will be a lot of new utility in terms of both running validators for the proof of inference consensus, as well as the block building for real-time blocks, and a lot of this other stuff that we haven't talked about on this podcast, but we'll announce in the roadmap. And so I think that one other aspect of this that is really, really powerful in terms of the big chain thesis and also everything that comes in the coming years, both on Frax still, obviously, but other things, is the utility of tokens will be really, really valuable and increasing rather than just kind of like inert kind of tokens. Will they ever give a fee? Will they not? Do they represent fees or something? And so with the FXS token revamp to Frax, the upgrade, we're calling it a token upgrade, the validators and gas usage, this will be like a almost like a sovereign chain utility, like a totally different rethinking of how valuable the actual token is. And as you guys, and I'm sure listeners know, it's kind of the same direction that Uni is taking, at least the first steps towards that. And I think that's really, really valuable because a lot of the times before, both in terms of like DeFi and the prior, you know, protocols, there's been this like confusion of like, what does this token even do? Is it a fee token? Will the fee switch turn on? Is it a commodity that's just scarce? Is it a meme coin? Well, what's the value and stuff? And I think in this next Web4 kind of era, it'll be very clear how valuable tokens are that are built in this kind of new era, especially with the FXS token upgrade, especially with Uni and everything, right? Like things that are coming, you can see exactly what they do. And so that's the other thing. And I think that itself is probably like a you know, podcast episode in and of itself, and how to value these tokens and assets that'll be much more valuable post Web3, if you will, because they're very, very clearly tied to a full stack of utility and not just like it'll maybe earn some fees or something like that, but then other than that, it literally does nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like literally the transition that a lot of Web3 users have been waiting for. Like when we had DeFi summer, for example, it was the high yields and this trend and that trend, but no long-term sustainability. While what you're saying, like having a massive utility token, like with different kinds of utilities, could be the actual way to, when we move to Web4 and similar, to have tokens that are actually useful and can allow a lot more stability in the first place. And can be valued as real investments.
Right. And especially when they're scarce with, you know, the max supply that's fixed and the utility is very clear. You're able to model exactly what the value of these things are. And you know that like things that have been out for a while, like FXS when it's upgraded, things like Aave, if they launch, you know, Aave network, or things like Uni, even better example, there's a fixed scarce supply. It's not actually like an equity token where people can just mint it to fund the team or something. It's a real sovereign, scarce asset that actually has digital value in terms of utility. So that's also something exciting in terms of a different topic and a different episode as well.
Yeah, that's definitely an exciting topic, and I'm pretty sure a lot of listeners would be happy to dive into that, especially with the recent confusion with the influx of new players in the Web3 and what is going on, like having that clear path of valuing these tokens. And here's also in this episode, thank you, Sam, for providing a clear path of what is happening with Frax and the main developments there.